Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Life is unpredictable. Life is filled with uncertainties. One of the stories about our family that still makes Marty and I laugh, and Kristen, don't worry, you're not in the picture in this one, so I've kind of been picking on her lately. I don't know why. I just really don't want to laugh that hard again. I was in my first parish right out of the seminary. Mount Carmel is an extremely rural town, totally on the other side of Illinois, on the other side of the state, situated on the Wabash River. And it was so far out that getting a pastor to come out and preach for you when you wanted to do a vacation was almost impossible. So to get ready for vacation, and David can understand this too, sometimes you had to prepare about 3 weeks of sermon in advance, right? So that somebody else could preach your sermon. Well, and that's pretty much the case for me. So by the time vacation actually came, I would find myself at the brink of insanity. And needless to say, very impatient. We had decided to, this was not prepared at all. We just thought, okay, where are we going to go? Let's go. We got to go somewhere. Let's just go. So we decided to go to Kentucky Lakes. We didn't really have a plan. We didn't have a lot of money. So we were just looking for some place to relax and get rejuvenated. And we were barely on the other side of the Wabash River. And I'm telling you, it's not that far. And headed down towards Paducah. And the kids were just, this is the three minus Kristen. This is pre-K days. We're just going crazy with each other. I mean, poking and fighting and screaming at each other. You know, he's looking at me, tell him to stop, and those kinds of things. They were really young. They don't do that much anymore. As Southerners say, they didn't have a hissy fit. They pitched one. It sounded like the World Wrestling Federation shout down right before the big match, you know, when they're yelling at each other. And that was it for me. I pulled off the side of the road, and that's what I said. That's it. I'm done. We're going back home. Tears began to flow. And so after sitting there in the car and stewing for a few minutes, kids, you know, still crying, I said something to the effect, now look, this better stop right here, or we're just going to go back home. The next time I hear any complaining or fighting, I'm turning around, we're going home. So, wiping their tears, we sort of got back on the road and kept going. Marty was so afraid I was serious that, you know, she was even, you know, kind of crying about it. Seriously, we did not have a plan. We just said, Kentucky Lakes, here we come. And as we're heading down that way, I thought, boy, this vacation is just going to be a disaster. And we came up upon a sign that said, horseback riding. Ding, ding, ding. I thought, oh, we can afford that. Let's go check it out. Well, we pull into the place, and we're talking to the owner, and we see this sign posted that says, you know, that you have to schedule this ride for like, you know, a couple of days in advance. And I thought, oh, great, there's no way. And he suddenly says to me, how many riders do you have? And I'm thinking, oh, great, five? He says, are you guys ready to ride? We had a late cancellation. We got to go right now. Oh, my gosh, my heart about leapt out of my chest. I was so excited, and so were we all. Now, to set this up, I've got to tell you that my son, Eric, he's not here, so I can talk about him. He's, you know, the oldest perfect child. You know, you all have had those perfect first child, you know. They never do anything wrong. But under that facade was a rascal of a kid. Oh, my gosh. You know, but he could hide it so well. And he could get the kids riled up faster than a deer crushing through your windshield. And, well, God had a little bit of payback for this little rascal. As the horses we were on were just as gentle as can be. It was a wonderful ride, except for the horse that Eric got kind of came with the same disposition that he came with. Got my drift? This horse would just all of a sudden decide to, now you know, horses, they're pretty big, and for a little kid, when a horse leans down to get some grass, you feel like you're just going to go right over the top of his head. Well, this horse just had a mind of his own. He was stopping, grazing grass, and of course, Eric screams about every time he'd lean over and just kind of freaking out at what he was doing. Well, that got us chuckling a little bit. And then he would, you know, tend to find a way to get under those low branches. So he'd kind of, the horse would duck his head and then Eric, you know, get the limb in the face. And that got us going even more, chuckling. And then finally, he went between two trees. It was just enough to get him through. But Eric's legs, unfortunately, it was like, oh. You know, and he's yelling at this horse, and I hate this horse, and we're just crying again. It was almost like that, yeah, last 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. We were just laughing so hard. Finally, something, and it wasn't someone you could get mad at. It was a horse that kind of got on him as dishing out what he'd been dishing out on us. Here's my point to that long story. Life is unpredictable. Sometimes it tickles our funny bones. But then sometimes we can't avoid trouble. For me, it was after a busy Christmas season, aren't they still? And I was looking forward to a cold and hopefully a slow January with snow filled so that school would be canceled and everything would just slow down. You know, teachers, you love this too, don't you? Snow days, come on, admit it. And I hadn't been feeling well, and I thought, okay, if we can just get to Epiphany, you know, things are going to slow down. Well, it happened that Sunday, January 6th, 2013, the Epiphany fell on that exact Sunday. While I was here at church, we got the call that our dear, dear friend, Shirley Schwarzkopf, had passed away. It was totally unexpected. I knew she had been into the hospital, but this just came to me out of the blue. And again, I thought to myself, well, we need to get through the funeral. Well, they didn't have the funeral for 4 days, you know, after that, on a Thursday. And I thought, okay, I can make it, you know, and then I'll go to the doctor and figure out what this bug is that's bothering me, and we'll deal with it. Well, after seeing 3 doctors in pretty short time, I got the announcement, yes, you have B-cell lymphoma, cancer. There are other stories that you know, you've either heard or you've experienced in your families. For many families, that story goes like this. They were good people. They planned well, invested their money. Their adorable kids would be taken care of. Well, Dad was at work one day, and he gets a call from his wife. And she said, have you heard the news? No. We've lost everything. You'd see they invested in a guy named Bernie Madoff. There are plenty of stories that if you pay attention this week, you'll hear coming out of the Olympics of someone who gets injured right before the prelims. Or you'll hear about someone who's expected to medal, maybe even get a gold, only to be injured before he gets the chance to compete. That's the thing about trouble. It rarely announces itself before it comes. Trouble never says, here I come. Get ready. We wish it would. At least we could prepare for it better. Or maybe we could even avoid it altogether. But life doesn't work that way, I think you've noticed. In fact, you are one of these three people today. You are either coming into trouble, you are in the midst of trouble, or you are about to get into trouble. That's life. We're all there. And it's because of this truth that our lives are defined by how we respond to trouble. Think about it. Addicts are defined by their ability to numb themselves against trouble. Criminals act out destructively to trouble. Atheists blame the absence of God for their trouble. Narcissistic victims exploit trouble to avoid responsibility. And the truth be told, we're all tempted at one time or another of these unhealthy responses to trouble. And at the bottom of all this unhealthy response to trouble is one little word. And that word is the enemy to all that brings life and joy and peace and hope to our world. And that word simply is panic. Panic is the feeling of being out of control. Panic is grabbing anything that makes you feel like you're in control, even if it's unhealthy. Sound familiar? Maybe you're putting on a good show to show others, but inside you know you're coming apart at the seams. Perhaps your business is failing, or your employer is laying people off in the droves and you're wondering if there's a pink slip out there with my name on it. Maybe you or a loved one in your family can't find a job in this economy and the bills are piling up. Maybe the marriage is on the rocks. Maybe your family unity isn't what you expected at this point of your life. Maybe you're living between doctor appointments and you're scared to death. Maybe the trouble you are facing is sending you into a panic. I want you to know something. There is another option to panic. The church knows it full well, though we often succumb to panic. You can find peace in the midst of your storm. You can calm the raging tempest inside you. You can find help and hope. All that is needed is one thing. And we all know people who have that one thing. We have maybe have witnessed it in their joyful expression while enduring a terminal illness. Martin Luther had it. It's what transformed his ministry. It gave him the power to stand before rulers and kings and face even death. Countless others have had it over the years, and it made all the difference in their lives. It has given them strength to deal with trouble and inspiration to do extraordinary things. What is it? Well, it goes all the way back to Abraham. You remember Abraham? It all started with him. And because he had it, the rest of us can have it as well. He had it when God told him to leave everything he knew, and he didn't even know where he was going. He had it when God told him and his wife Sarah that they were going to have a child. When, how should we say it? When they no longer had the resources to procreate. Abraham had it, and you know what it is. The word, quite simply, is faith. Faith, the writer of Hebrews tells us, is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You know what I love about the people in the Bible, because I can so relate to them, is that they are not perfect people. Christians aren't perfect people. Christians are not in control, believe it or not. Christians don't have all the answers. Christians are not better than any other people walking the face of this earth. Christians are not folks that can give the perfect theological answer to every question. Christians are those who have learned, like Abraham, that God can be trusted. God can be trusted to give peace in the midst of a storm. I felt that. God can be trusted to take what is evil and transform it into something good. God can be trusted to empower you in the midst of trouble. God can be trusted to receive you when you die. God can be trusted. The late Roman Catholic, a spiritual writer, Henry Nouwen, received the greatest revelation about faith, and he wrote about it in a book that he had written about this trapeze family from Germany. And he was just, you know, as all of us are, mesmerized by their breathtaking performances as they flowed gracefully through the air. And at the end of the show, he spoke with the father, the leader of the group. And Nouwen asked him, How are you able to perform with such grace and ease in such a high place? And he responded, the public might think that I'm a great star at the trapeze, but the real star is Joe, my catcher. The secret is that the flyer does nothing and the catcher does everything. When I fly to Joe, I simply have to stretch out my arms and hands and wait for him to catch me. The worst thing a flyer can do is try to catch the catcher. I'm not supposed to catch Joe, he said. It's Joe's task to catch me. When trouble comes, so often we try to grab onto God. We think if we do enough mental gymnastics or enough fanciful praying, somehow we can catch God. But it's not our job to catch God. He catches us. I think that's what Eleanor Fletcher was trying to tell us before she passed this week or so ago. Unable to speak because she was intubated, she relied on texting to her family or writing her little messages on a tablet. And her last words to her daughter, Charity, were faith words. And she simply said, stand firm. And Charity told me afterwards that she knew exactly what her mom was saying. It wasn't a new message to her. She had heard it year after year after year. Stand firm in the Lord. Trust Him. Rely on Him. Live for Him. Brothers and sisters, in Christ, that's the gift that we have been given in Him. We can rely on the one who went to the cross and died for our sins and also rose on the third day victoriously, giving us hope now and in the days to come. Or frankly, we can take on the world's unhealthy ways and live in panic. You're here today because you know the way of Christ. And His story tells us there is hope in our darkest hours. I love a song that was written by Bill Gaither, which was born out of trouble. And it simply goes like this. The refrain is, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living, just because He lives. If there's nothing else, I want you to take home this message today. Remember this one thing. When trouble comes, and it will, Remember God's word from Hebrews 11. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the gift of God. You don't have to catch Him. He's always there to catch you. And when you let Him do what He does best in saving the world, you will have the confidence of so many who have trusted and learned even in the face of immense trouble. I love Paul's expression. I'll close with it from Romans 8, where he says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Go in that confidence. God has given you a great faith, a great gift in faith, and it will carry you through those troubled days. And eventually, one day, it will even take you to the gates of heaven. God grant it for Jesus' sake and to His eternal glory. Amen.